waiting to take it all in.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California.
Good morning from American Public Media in Los Angeles. I'm Steve Chiatakis. Earnings season means we'll all see a good number of individual health reports. They are companies whose economic blood pressure could foretell stroke or stride. And the whole lot of them will bear repercussions on stocks. Wells Fargo indicated record profits last week, and the markets were on fire. This morning, investors not so happy. Not only earnings, but a report the Treasury wants bankruptcy prep for June 1st has sent stocks lower this morning. The Dow is down about 1%, almost 100 points at this hour. NASDAQ down about 0.75%. The S&P 500 down about 9 points, about 1% there. No trading in Europe today as part of a holiday weekend, and some Asian markets were closed as well. The Nikkei shed about 0.5%. All right, let's reach out to Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. He's talking with us this morning. Sam, what's everyone keeping an eye on?
Well, I think first off, the markets are going to be focusing on corporate earnings. S&P expects that on a year-over-year basis, the S&P is likely to lose as much as 25% in this first quarter. But I think really investors are going to be listening to what kind of guidance companies will be offering, whether it'll be very gloomy or whether they actually could be hinting toward the recovery in earnings toward the second half of this year.
And a lot of these earnings will be banks, right?
Absolutely. Well, a lot of the banks in particular, JP Morgan Chase, will be coming out, and also we're going to be taking a look at Citigroup. So, and the week after is when we're going to see Bank of America. So in general, investors are going to be hoping that they get similar news from these other major banks that they got from Wells Fargo, implying that maybe the worst of the credit crisis is behind them.
Will they get that kind of news, Sam?
It might be a little bit too early to say, but I think certainly that the big variable is the mark-to-market. And certainly if you have a floor underneath the market for some of these troubled assets, you don't see them declining precipitously, then these banks don't have to raise additional capital in order to maintain their capital exposure levels. So if we don't see a further weakening in those markets, then that actually could provide at least a floor underneath the earnings for the financial stocks.
Sam Stovall, Chief Investment Strategist at S&P Equity Research. Sam, thank you.
Thank you, Steve.
I'll tell you who else has been watching the banks, a government oversight committee. The Wall Street Journal this morning reports the group's been keeping tabs on bank bailout cash, and it's launched an investigation. They're looking into the hiking of interest rates and fees at banks that took federal money. Here's Marketplace's Dan Gretsch.
The Congressional Oversight Panel monitors the banks that got a taxpayer bailout. The panel is preparing a report on potentially inappropriate lending practices, like Bank of America slapping up to $10 in new fees on a wide range of credit card transactions, or Citigroup promoting $5,000 loans without mentioning in their flyer that the loan has an annual interest rate of 30%. Other banks are offering short-term emergency loans with interest rates topping 100% a year.
What should happen if the fees are exorbitant? Competition should drive them down.
That's Peter Hahn, a former managing director at Citigroup.
I mean, there's still several thousand banks in the United States. Many other players in the marketplace could offer the service for less if they thought it was worth it.
Hahn says regulators are forcing banks to keep more cash on hand. Banks need to find that cash somewhere, and they're looking to heftier fees and higher interest rates. I'm Dan Gretsch for Marketplace.
Marketplace Morning Report is supported by Trusted Choice. Over 10,000 independent insurance agencies across America committed to treating customers as people, not policies. Online at TrustedChoice.com. By Thomson Reuters, a source of intelligent information to businesses and professionals around the world. Thomson Reuters, knowledge to act. And by Thrivent Financial for Lutherans, a not-for-profit financial service provider helping its members navigate troubled economic times. Thrivent.com/new offers.
China is promising $25 billion for its neighbors in Southeast Asia. That follows up on a high-profile G20 summit performance. Our China bureau chief, Scott Tong, is with us now from Shanghai. Scott, much of this money is for infrastructure improvement. Why are the Chinese doing this?
Well, China wants to help them do it for its own reasons. First of all, China's not been blessed by Mother Nature as far as raw materials, so it needs to get them somewhere, by ship or by rail or by canal, and this will help them get those. It also helps, after China makes all these products to export to the world, it helps them get products to markets in Southeast Asia. And for the countries that are receiving this, obviously they want better ports and railroads in general. So arguably it's a win-win situation.
So, Scott, the devil's advocate in me, though, says this sounds a whole lot like China buying influence. Is that what's going on here?
There's a big debate about this, and I think it just depends on how you see China. If you see China as a more responsible stakeholder in the world, that this is just a natural manifestation of its economic clout, you'll see it that way. This is just kind of natural. In fact, a lot of opinion polls in Southeast Asia find China's reputation is getting better, and it's better than Washington's reputation. If you think there's something darker, you start uttering words like Monroe Doctrine and sphere of influence, that China is rewriting the rules of foreign aid and kind of nudging aside these old institutions like the World Bank.
So what can go wrong with all of this then?
Well, Steve, Americans know how it can go wrong. If you think about Halliburton, you think about Katrina, we always wonder how companies get these giant deals. On this side of the world, China has a big deal with Pakistan to sell trains for Pakistan Rail. Now, late last week, a scandal started brewing there that the Chinese company involved, which actually beat an American competitor, General Electric, in the process, it got the deal, according to Pakistani officials, through fake paperwork.
So how do they defend themselves then against those charges?
Well, the Chinese companies in the middle of these controversies tend not to say much. But academics in China who watch these things, they say, hey, you know what? China is new at this. And if it's making these mistakes, it's because it's never had to deal with these international transparent rules before. And the optimist would say, well, these Chinese companies are going to learn their lesson. They're going to get burned. And in the future, it'll get better.
Marketplace's Scott Tong joining us from Shanghai. Scott, thank you.
Okay, Steve.
Hope you can join us at our website, marketplace.org, our online host and blogger, Scott Jaga, with a scratch pad there at marketplace.org. In Los Angeles, I'm Steve Chiotakis. Thanks for being with us. Have a great Monday.
American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.